Episode 3. Already made it past where I thought I'd make it. I thought I'd give up after 2. Welcome, everybody. Episode 3 of Predictably Drunk. This is Sam Marcoux. SamMarcoux.com is my full name. If you didn't know that, if you heard the second episode, you heard how shitty it is to have a sick kid. And I think I mentioned that there's nothing shittier than having a sick kid. And apparently I was wrong, because there is something shittier. And that's when your sick kid gets you sick. As I spent the last 3 days puking and shitting and puking on top of my shit because my kid gave me the fucking flu. And I have not been that sick in a very, very long time. It was awful. One of the worst things I could imagine. And I had to buy new pants. I think I shit my pants about 3 times that weekend, but whatever. The good news about it is if you're going to get sick, you want to do it on the weekend. And the reason I say that, especially now, is the perfect time to get sick, because it gave me an excuse to not leave the couch. It gave me an excuse to sit there on my fat ass and watch a bunch of television. And I got to tell you, there's never been a better time to be a lazy motherfucker than right now when it comes to television. There's so many good shows on TV right now. So many. Just a couple that if you never watched Breaking Bad, then you need to quit listening to this podcast right now, because I don't fucking like you. But you can redeem yourself by watching Better Call Saul on AMC, which is a fantastic show. There's only been 2 episodes, and it's fucking fantastic. So watch that shit, okay? And it's AMC, so if you miss it the first time, they're just going to replay it about 85 times because they have nothing else. Shameless happens to be the best show on TV. It's on Showtime. It's in its 5th season. Go back and rewatch all of it. Shameless, best show on television. HBO, can't do anything wrong. They have a new show called The Jinx, which is by far, I've only seen the first episode, and it gave me chills, gave me goose pimples. It's that fantastic. And then another show, a little guilty pleasure of mine, is Episodes. If you guys don't know what Episodes is, it's a show about Matt LeBlanc, who played Joey on Friends. He plays himself and basically plays an actor who can't get a job after Friends, which is ironic because the show is also into its 4th season, which is kind of funny. But just a fantastic show. A lot of guest hosts, a lot of guests in general. And speaking of which, Predictably Drunk has its first guest, and that is the incomparable, the lovely, the wonderful Bay Area legend himself, Mr. Jeremy Curry. Jeremy, say hello.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Thank you, Sam, for having me. Of course, the first word you complimented was on incomparable. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, Jeremy's now Googling all the words I use.
Is that a good one?
it's the, I don't even know.
Say something good?
I think I meant to say incompetent, but I said it wrong.
What does incomparable mean?
It means that there's nobody that can compare to you. How about that?
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah. No, so Jeremy, for those that don't know Jeremy Curry, God, where do I start? Where do I start with Jeremy Curry?
Where do you start?
I don't know.
Met you at the gym?
I met Jeremy Curry about, 14 years ago?
At a gym?
At a gym.
Shocking!
At a gym.
You and I are at a gym.
Yeah, yeah. We must have been lost on our way to the bar.
For directions.
Which way to the bar?
Yeah.
We were looking for a guy named Jim, and we got confused.
Yeah, the Jim.
So, we met a long time ago, and then we had a long, not a falling out. We didn't know each other well enough.
We didn't have Facebook.
That's true.
We could not connect.
We did not have Facebook.
If you had Facebook, Sam, we'd have known each other a long time.
Now, here's the thing. So I was at a Raiders game. I was at an Oakland Raiders game with my sister, Stacy.
And the Bears.
Because we got free tickets. And we left, and we went to a bar afterwards, Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm walking. This is about 10 years after I met Jeremy. And Jeremy, for those that don't know, is a huge Miami Dolphins fan.
Unfortunately,
so he's got good taste. He also happens to be a Los Angeles Lakers fan, so he's got good taste.
And a Braves.
And he's
fan,
an Atlanta or... Braves fan, which means 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Oh,
I suppose.
God, the Dodgers.
But really? Yeah, the Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
Yeah, both of us suck again. Fuck John Smoltz. But so I'm walking through Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, I've been drinking, obviously. And I see this guy in a 1994 pro player parka. Hunched over, looking depressed.
That's a great jacket, man. It's waterproof, man. I can take that thing anyway. It's dark, so if I spill it myself.
He's wearing it now in 2015.
Yeah, I still wear it. I wear it to bed.
So I go, hey, that's a great jacket. And I hear, hey, thanks, man. Thanks very much. And I'm like, holy shit, I know that sad sack of shit voice anywhere. And the first thing, I go to the bathroom, and I'm like, okay, I know this guy. And for some reason, I remember his name. So I go back to him, and he's sitting with his friends, and I go, excuse me, this is going to be a weird question, but is your name Jeremy Curry? And he looks at me, and he turns more white than he is normally. And he goes, how much money do I owe you?
I've made some bad decisions.
So right then, I knew we were going to be friends for a while. But I asked him how much he had on him, and that's exactly how much.
I knew it wouldn't be enough.
Yeah.
God.
So we apparently swapped info, which is always good when you go to a bar and you get another dude's information, right?
Yeah.
That's how that works.
That's how it works for us.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's how it works in the comedy business.
But I can tell a joke. No, it doesn't matter.
So then you started, we started kind of hanging out, just, you know, watching sports and shit like
dolphins,
that again.
Bro. Yeah,
watching,
I mean,
dolphins. And then out of nowhere, you kind of dropped this bomb that you started doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, that's all I know about you. I've known you for 14 years, and that's all I know. So I don't even know, how did you get into doing stand-up comedy? How did that even come about?
I always wanted to do it, man. I mean, think about that, dude. Imagine you can make a living traveling and doing stand-up. Dude, that is the ultimate job. I mean, the best hours, you go to make people laugh. Dude, I want to do that so bad. So I always want to do it. And the kids now, the kid at the time was, what, 17, 18?
I don't know. It's your kid.
Yeah, I don't know. But he was like 18, so. Fucking, he wasn't going to do much. The writing was on the wall.
So what did you do? I mean, did you start hitting open mics, or did you just...
Bro, I hit an open mic, Tommy T's, 4-minute set. And it was awful. I had no idea what I was doing. And it was awful, man. It was atrocious. It was just, I mean, when you first did it, you did it at Kirby's, which had to be even more nerve-wracking.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that one
because,
here.
I mean, it's just so different because everyone's looking at you for the first time. Yeah. And that's a strange feeling. And then you got to make motherfuckers laugh.
Yep.
Make them laugh. And hearing yourself, that was strange for me. Hearing myself on the microphone.
Yeah, hearing that, it just, wow, this is me. I'm on stage.
Yeah,
I'm telling
you. Everything went 100 miles an hour, dude. And it was awful, and it took me probably like a month to recoup, and I went back and did it again. But I didn't have a set. I had nothing, dude. I had no game plan. I just figured, oh, funny.
You're just going to get on set. And I think that's a big mistake.
You got a set, man.
That is a big mistake. But you know, that's how you learn, though, because I made that same mistake, and Jeremy's referencing it. First time I got on stage, And by the time I started watching you do stand up, you were getting actual feature sets and doing, you know, getting booked
on Tuesdays.
Yeah, well,
can you bring 30 on a Tuesday?
The only reason they get booked on Mondays is because they're closed. But yeah. when I first got into it, and full disclosure, Jeremy's the one who actually got me on stage for the first time. So if I have fans out there, you can thank Jeremy Curry for getting me started.
Yeah, you have fans.
And for the rest of you, you can blame
Mom,
Jeremy Curry.
Mom and Stacey, thank you for listening to the podcast.
Thank
you for viewing it 9 times.
Yes, I appreciate
it. I have all
it.
These views.
I need the ads. I need the ad support. But the first time I got on stage was basically, for those of you that are listening to this, you probably know, if you're not fans, you probably know of my web series of Predictably Drunk, which was Miami Dolphins skits, right? 4 or 5 minutes long. And Jeremy loved them. Probably the only guy who did love them, to the point where he's like, hey, man, I'm going to put together this show, and I want you to do stand-up. And I kicked it around for about half a second, and he's like, well, you're doing it. So I decided to do it, and then I did almost the same exact rookie mistake that it sounds like you did, and that I really didn't have a game plan going up there. I thought, hey, shit, I've been funny my whole life. So far, it's gotten me booked on a show without even really trying, so I must be doing something right. So I wrote a couple of jokes down and thought, I've got this down. And I get to Kirby's, which is a sports bar. And Kirby's actually is a great room in the Bay Area. It's in Fremont. It's Kirby Sports Bar. And Jeremy runs it. He does a free comedy showcase every month. If you're in the Bay Area, check it out. You got some of the best comedians coming through that show. It's amazing. And I'm not the only one who says
good
that.
Good
I mean,
crowd, bro.
Yeah,
great crowd.
Great crowds. It's free.
They
you get
show
drink
up.
Specials.
Fremont.
They do. And so that first night, I invited everybody I knew on the planet to show up to Kirby's. which I should have never done. I should have never done.
No. Yeah. No, so, I tell people shit.
If you're listening, if you're listening to this and you want to break into stand-up comedy, I'm going to tell you right now, do not tell anybody you've done it for at least a year.
Yeah. Just bring the person you can murder somebody with so they don't talk.
Yeah, yeah. I should have brought fucking Steve Curry. That's it.
You bring that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, no, motherfucker.
You do not.
Keep this shit to yourself.
You do not bring everybody and your mother because, A, you're going to be known as a bringer, which you don't want, which I'll talk about later. And, B, you're not going to be very good. It's very rare that you're very good on your first time. And you're people that say they are lying.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
Or they bring all their friends.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not honest feedback.
No,
you know,
it's not.
Because your friends have to laugh at your shit. Right?
You're so brave.
Unless you're really bad.
How did you do it? What made you think you were funny?
Your friends are required to laugh at your shit unless you're bad.
And friends have never gone back to the shit since.
No. Haven't had one good guest set ever. So I get up there, and the first thing Jeremy does is he goes, you know, you got 5 minutes. And I bitch and complain. And I go, I want to do 10. Remember that?
Okay.
I want to do 10. And Jeremy looks at me, opens his eyes for half a second, and goes, fuck it, do 10. I don't give a fuck. And walks off. So he puts me in. And I'll give Jeremy this. I think there was about nine comedians that night. Because he hates his audience.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's like, can we get 11 on there? I don't know, maybe 12.
Okay.
So he put me on, I think, fourth, which is actually a fantastic spot.
I can't wait to tell you what's going on.
You put me on fourth, which is a fantastic spot. No, and I mean that. But he puts me on after a guy named Charles fucking Kelly.
Hoffa?
Charles Hoffa Kelly. Now, we're going to talk about Charles Kelly because there's a story with Jeremy and Charles. But Charles gets on there and just destroys the room. Just murders
him. Yeah, he's tough.
The guy's solid.
He is solid.
I got to go on after this guy. And now, I'm nervous as fuck, right? But the first time, okay, I've got 70 people in the audience. I should be okay. They're going to laugh at my stuff. My set was so bad that my sister wasn't even laughing. She was cringing like I was getting... Yeah, go ahead.
I interject. The show's going great, man. The fucking place is solid. The owner's looking at me like I am the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, man, dude, I'm getting free drinks. I'm writing my check for Kirby's Forever. Like, dude, I'm a god. And next thing you know, your ass goes up. And after 2 minutes, the owner goes, what the fuck is he doing? Get him off. I go, I can't.
I can't. He brought the crowd.
He brought fucking 90% of the people. He goes, well, the 10% are leaving.
And you know what? I was part of that 10%.
He should have seen it, dude. He just kept looking at me like I just fucking kidnapped his daughter. I'm like, I ain't taking, man. I swear to God. Captain.
Oh,
that was funny, dude. Hey, bro. That's a tough spot, though. I mean, and Kirby's is rowdy.
Kirby's is a rowdy crowd.
Bro, they're rowdy.
Kirby's is a rowdy crowd.
If you don't bring that shit in a minute or two, you're done.
You're done.
But you know what, man? That place has made me so good hosting.
Yeah.
Because you have to go up and go, fuck you.
So here's the thing about Jeremy that I admire and this is going to sound bad, but I kind of admire your courage in that you don't care. Jeremy could be headlining, and then something can go wrong. Headliner might not show up, and Jeremy will go, fuck it, I'll host. Or you could be hosting, somebody goes, you know, I kind of want to host. Jeremy goes, fuck it, I'll open. Like, you don't care where you're slotted necessarily, right? Like, you just like getting up there and...
Well, you got to get time. I'd rather host because you get more chances, and, like, you forget some bits, whatever. You get more time, dude.
Yeah.
Hosting's cool.
I like hosting. It's fun.
It keeps you in the game, keeps you sharp. But you know, whatever, dude. You get what you get, you know. You take what you can get. I mean, the shows are good. As long as you're on good shows, but man, you do what you get. But you also want to have that set that is a comedy club set where you know you boom, you're not hosting, you're just coming in there.
Right.
Because you can motherfuck the crowd a little bit more as a comic versus a host.
Yep.
That's where I fucked up the other night. I motherfucked the crowd.
So we
were yelling at
me. We were doing a show.
What do you mean? Because you told them they suck. I said, did I? He goes, yeah. Yeah, four times.
Just for reference sake, we're doing a show at a comedy club, and Jeremy decided to host, and...
I didn't decide. It was like process of elimination.
Nobody wanted to
do it. No one wanted to do that shit, so I took one for everybody else.
So Jeremy gets on stage.
I get mother. Okay.
They intro Jeremy, and Jeremy goes, "How you doing? What the fuck's wrong with this crowd? You attacked the crowd within 30 seconds.
Well, you know, I want energy.
I want
enthusiasm.
You took one for the team, because everyone that came on after you was like, well, at least he's not the asshole who called us names.
Yeah, I know, but you live and you learn. Not one of my better moments, but, you know, dude, mistakes like that happen. That's why you live and you learn.
But Jeremy's one of these comics, for people listening, that, you know, you're always going to get work. Like, and I'm convinced of that, because
I
you can...
So.
Well, you can always...
Well, I appreciate... Yeah, I do. I agree.
Look, I'm
pretty fucking good at this.
Look, and
screaming. Am I going to wake up your kid?
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
She'll be all right. I'll get a text if she's sleeping or not.
We're in Sam's garage.
Yeah, we're in the studio,
studio.
Yeah.
Dropping the jewel. Getting high, watching time fly, whatever, to live and die in L.A. I just listened to that song today. That's a great line, though.
So speaking of, I'm trying to get your plugs in. Would you shut up for half a second?
Where are they at? Kirby's.
Okay, so first plug. February 19th. You can't even get your own show.
Is it really?
Yes.
February 19th. It's a Thursday, that's
it's
why.
It's a Thursday, because you switched it. You used to do Wednesdays.
Yeah, now
you got promoted,
Thursdays.
You got promoted
Football's
Thursdays.
Over.
Yeah, so Jeremy's show.
I was a little busy on Thursdays.
February 19th, Kirby's Sports Bar in Fremont. It's free. Show starts at 8:00. Drink specials. But look at these shows, man. You've got Friday, March 6th, Saturday, March 7th at the Bella Ultra Lounge in Oakland. Which, Jesus, wear a flak jacket. And
Go Baby. Those are good shows.
Yeah, that's
Leroy Stanford.
That's Leroy Stanford.
Sandwich. I met those guys at Dorsey's Locker. They have great shows, man. Great shows, great crowds. I can't wait. I'm going to murder that place.
And that place, no, you do well. You
yeah,
do really
I'll
well with that.
I can't.
And those are both 8 p.m. starts,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, I'll give you these so you know where to go.
Yeah, I know where to go. I can't be a fucking Kirby's. 19th, go to Kirby's.
Okay? Yeah, February 19th. And then the last one, I talked about on the last podcast, because I got hired by Jeremy's cousin, actually, to do all the flyers for this. But it's the 420 Comedy Joke Out on April 17th. Like good potheads, they scheduled a 420 show 3 days before 420.
Well, 420 Sunday.
Well, I'm glad you did it early. I expected you guys to do it like on the 26th or something.
You're going to do the show, right?
No.
Why not?
No, I'm going to go hang out. I'm going to check it out. I'm not on the show.
Dude, it doesn't matter.
Well, no, you're doing special guest appearance on that show.
Fuck.
But that's going to be a good show. That's at the Swiss Park in Newark, California. If you guys missed the Fremont Comedy Bash, that's you know, kind of the follow-up. You want to hit that one up. So, you know, I started the show, Jeremy, talking about TV shows. What are you watching these days? You watching anything?
Yeah, seriously, though, I was just listening to what you said, and I'm excited about... I'm going to check out that show, Jinx, because I did see the advertisement for that. That shit looks pretty good. That's right up my alley.
It's not even like a series. It's not like an acted series. Uh-huh. It's like a docudrama, and it's crazy. Like, the first episode just debuted last night.
I can't wait to see it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely.
Watch it tonight.
Robert Durst, look him up. He's a crazy son of a bitch. This guy, it's a true story.
Okay, I can't wait to see.
And
it.
Yeah. And it ends with them interviewing him. So they're gonna have an actual interview with this crazy.
But it's a series, right? There's more.
Yeah, it's a mini series. So okay. It's going through basically. It's called The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst.
Is that one like the one you talked about, Joey from Friends, whatever? Hey, is that one like kind of similar to Entourage?
A little bit. Yeah, it's got.
With
it's kind of. Yeah, it's.
Entourage is so good.
It's nothing like Entourage, though. Entourage is on a different level. This is kind of like
those guys. Those four guys murdered it.
Yeah,
their relationship seems so genuine.
No, this isn't. It's not as natural as that.
Okay,
but what it is so it used to be there was a show called Shameless.
But he plays himself.
He plays Matt LeBlanc. Yeah, so everyone knows him as Joey, and he's trying to get
that guy hasn't done shit since Friends, but he's
not really.
Rich.
Well, that's kind of the whole point. Is like his he
what
wasted,
you
his,
do?
But he wasted his money.
Oh, he did he?
Yeah. So, but it's not. It's all. That's a scripted show. So it's not. You know,
but
I'm sure he's
true story. Did that guy go through all his money?
No.
Oh, fucking.
But it's a scripted show. But it's funny. It's 30 minutes. You know,
it's
you sit down and go, okay, I'm gonna have dinner and watch episodes.
Dude, I tell you the show to watch is Ray Donovan. Did you ever see that?
Oh,
shit?
Ray Donovan's fantastic.
Best show in the world. Top five.
Yeah,
it's not Breaking Bad. Settle down.
Yeah.
I'm on three right now. So I just met Sal. I can't wait to see his character. Mm. And the first series, season, whatever the fuck you want to call it, first season, I thought the kid who played the drug dealer kid, I thought he was acting a little bit too over.
A little too much, right?
Yeah, I agree. But it looks like he's getting better.
He gets better. It's five seasons. Yeah, last season is
phenomenal. Dude, I'm a blast through.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
I'm going to blast through the next week or so. I can't wait.
So I was gonna talk to you about this because Jeremy jumps my shit every single time I say this. So I asked him to actually maybe put some thought into this. I don't know if he did or not, but
I did, man, all fucking day long. What was it? What was it, Sam?
You're knocking my mic down. Look at you.
Fuck.
He's just breaking on my shit.
Yeah. All right, no more swearing either.
Yeah. It's all right.
No, it's not.
It's NC-17. So one of the things that like we all have things about comedy when you do stand up comedy that you hate, right? Like for me, one of the worst things that can happen is if you tell somebody, "Oh, I do stand up comedy," the first thing they do, "Oh, well, tell me a joke." I hate that. It makes me livid. I can't stand it. Well, one of the things that Jeremy hates, I know for a fact, is when I say, "Hey, man, it was great working with you again," and Jeremy wants to tear your eyeballs out when you say, "It was great working with you."
It's so lame.
You don't like it.
I think it's stupid.
You don't like work.
Work. We're working. They were working with you. Yeah. What did we do? God damn it. Working. I remember this kid asked Rich Aurelia for his autograph. 10-year-old kid. Could have made his day. And he goes, "I'm working." I go, "No, you're not. You're playing baseball."
Playing a game.
That kid's dad's working so he can come and sit in the front row.
His dad's a roofer and you can't sign his autograph.
His dad's probably some corporate dick, but it doesn't matter. It's a front row seat, bro.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you hate that because you don't consider comedy work.
Bro, it's just living the dream, man.
Yeah, it's
living the dream.
It's playing. So,
what are we really, saying? Is it really tough to after a show have people come up to go, "Man, you made me laugh. Oh, yeah. You have to work so hard, really?"
I guess telling dick jokes isn't really the same as, you know, dude, breaking up concrete, that's for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude. Anyway.
So what else? What else do you hate besides that? Is there a couple things about comedy?
I don't say I hate, but what shocks me is that a lot of the comics will tell you, "You can't say this, you can't do that, you can't say this," and they're so sensitive. And I'm like, dude, you're doing stand-up comedy. You're putting it out there. How can you be sensitive about anything?
What do you mean with regards to being sensitive? Like, what are they saying you can't say?
Oh, just people get sensitive or anything. Like, I don't know, black shit call, saying the N-word. Or yep. I'm not even going to say the N. I'm N-word. Cunt, fag. I mean, but it's just whatever. Just topics, for example. Like Bill Cosby or, you know, you just can't. And comics will tell you this. Like, "Man, that's a little bit extreme there, buddy." And you're like, "Dude, really? You're going to do stand-up comedy?" But you know what, though? If you don't have thick skin, you're not going to make it.
No.
And I mean, because as you go up higher, dude, they don't give a fuck what you think. No. You better do this, do that, do this. You better have thick skin.
Yeah.
Because that's it. And that's the way it is. So, and that's just hanging out with too many open mics. But yeah, this is where you start.
Do you think the open mic scene is a little bit of a vacuum? Meaning, like you do a lot of comedy clubs, right? You're doing improv, doing cops.
Yeah, that's just luck and not luck. But
no, I mean some of it's luck, some of it's who you know, some of it is what you're doing. I mean, it's a combination.
Open mic, like if you can go to an open mic, dude, and the place is packed, if you can get everyone to shut the fuck up in there and listen to you, that's all you try to accomplish.
Yeah.
Because another thing at open mics, so you're there on a Tuesday, you're dealing with drunks,
yep.
Okay? Those are people that are in a bar for free, okay? They're going to laugh at, "Oh, you dick." They're not going to get a bit, and they're not. But if you can get everyone's attention just by the way you speak, your enthusiasm, your energy, that's all that matters. Because when you're hosting or whatever, there's going to be times when you're at shows, you have to dominate.
Right.
Because if you don't dominate, you're done.
I just find that open mics tend to be the same
guys,
25 people,
and
they're all laughing at the same bit.
You got guys living the dreamland, and a lot of people, bro, you know this, they fool themselves.
Yeah.
They fool themselves that they're a success, but they're really a dumb piece of shit. They are! You know what I mean? You're right. You're headed to the top, man. Really? And they go to open mics just to say, "I'm a comic."
Yeah.
I'm a stand-up comic. I met this guy, this open mic guy, at a fucking, like, Marshall's. This guy's standing at a Marshall's, dude. He recognizes me, man. And I'm like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I got the show going on this, and I got the show going on that. And, dude, he's fucking awful. Awful. It's like I'd rather watch the WNBA and lose a bet on that game than listen to this guy for 5 minutes on a stage.
Have you ever bet on the WNBA?
Absolutely.
You have bet on the WNBA.
I have bet on the WNBA. Yes.
Okay. All right. So I was going to say.
It was a tip. It was a hot tip.
What was the hot tip?
Take the mercury.
Was Michael Jordan showing up in a wig?
No. He said, you take the mercury. I said, okay. What?
If somebody calls you with a tip to take the mercury, don't you just immediately hang up on that person? And
absolutely
never
not.
Call me
I was overnight, so it couldn't be any worse. Dude, again, it's a sickness, it's a disease, dude, but it's called action. But see, that's the thing about comedy. That's the thing about stand-up.
It's the same.
It's the same, bro. There's nothing like being up on a stage. You're up there and you're making people laugh. You can feel the energy.
It's that rush.
You can feel them. You can feel that you have control of them, dude. And you can't buy that. And that's a rush.
And it is better than any drugs you can take.
And it's still a challenge. You can't go in there like, oh, I'm gonna get this, because I've done that before.
That's when you don't respect it. Bro,
like, dude, there was a show this Saturday or whatever, Friday. I don't know. It's one of the 3 days. It was a great show, bro. And I was like, oh, dude, these fools have no chance. I'm gonna murder these guys. And I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, and it shocked me because they didn't respond as well as I thought they would, and I got discombobulated, and I just didn't go through the process. I just figured, oh, these people are here. There's a ton of people here. I'm hot. I got them.
Yeah.
And I didn't do that well. I did okay, but I didn't do that well.
You know, I had that happen at the San Jose Improv. I got booked on that show. 420 people in the audience.
Yeah, dude. That's the worst.
Massive
that's
audience.
That's the worst, dude.
And
you just feel like an asshole.
You know, and I thought, I got this. It's 400 people.
Yeah.
I've always done well on this stage.
It's a winner.
I'm going to walk
like
out
there. Like the Warrior game the other day. It's a winner.
I'm going to get out there. I'm going to walk on stage, and I'm going to tell my 10 minutes of jokes, and they're going to laugh. And I told about a minute of jokes. I got one heckler. I decided, fuck the other 419 people.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to this guy.
Can't do that.
Lost the crowd.
Can't do that.
Lost him. It never came back.
Yeah.
I wanted to hang myself after that set.
Yeah.
I was so down.
Especially when you're new, the first thing you can't do is insult the crowd.
Yeah.
Hence, me hosting the other night. Hey, fags. Not a good approach.
No. Maybe not your best.
Is that your business plan?
So where are you going? Where are you going with comedy? Like, what do you see in 2015 for you? I mean, you're gonna hit the road.
I just got to build a set that works everywhere. Obviously, you know, I got the local stuff down, and I could hold my own with any club for 15 minutes because I got a lot of local shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and again, that was one thing I learned this weekend too, is when you're on the road.
How do you translate that?
Well, you just gotta. But you do know, it's like if you stay in the same city for like 3 days. The third day is going to be your best set.
Yeah.
The reason, you've been fucking there.
You understand.
You get the heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see what's going on. So I was in this town, right? And it was in the middle of nowhere. And so I made this joke where I was like, I'm walking down the street and this lady goes, what is that? I'm all, it's called a cell phone.
It's a good joke.
Yeah. And she goes, are you from the future? and then she goes, I'm not going to go. This is going to be a joke, so I can't keep going with it. But it's part of the bit. And I did that joke the next day, and the city that was next to it worked.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's the funny thing about it. I mean, you could almost do the same bit on the same day for the same audience in just a different time. And sometimes shit's just not going to work.
It never goes out the same,
right?
No matter what.
And that's kind of the interesting thing, too, is how do you adjust to that? Because I used to panic, and I still do a little bit, but every now, like I've learned actually from you, one of the things that Jeremy's always told me, and I said this on the last podcast, Jeremy will tell you as soon as you get off stage, you could murder a crowd and you walk off stage, and the first person I always look for approval from is Jeremy Curry if he happens to be there, and the first thing he's going to tell you is the five things you did wrong. He's going to tell you to look up. He's going to tell you to slow down. He's going to tell you to, you know, settle down a little bit, end on a different joke, and quit being a fag. those are life lessons from Jeremy.
Oh, God.
You know, so that's Jeremy in a nutshell right there.
Oh,
but
God.
That's what he's going to tell you. And But that's what you learn. You, like, especially slowing down. Like, there's a few times where, you know, you slow down, you let a joke breathe, and something mm-hmm. that, if you don't hear laughs right away, I think comics tend to panic and go, I got to get to the next one.
Yeah.
I've done that recently where I took a joke where there's three parts to the joke, and I hit all three parts fast, and then the punchline, mm-hmm. and I've slowed it down to each part being a punchline, and it works so much better, and it's longer, and it just, it extends the set a little bit longer, mm-hmm. and makes the whole experience better, so... You know, that's shit I've learned from you, so I appreciate
it. Yeah, I mean, thank you, thank you. But, dude, when you, like, if you're slower, you're going to have a better set.
Yep.
Period. But, like, well, I have this the joke with anybody a Miami Dolphin fan, and it's actually always quiet. And I...
It's only me clapping.
Quiet. And then I go, fuck you. Then everyone starts laughing. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you don't panic, dude, and it's just like comes with anything. It's just the more comfortable you are, the better you get. You know, and just, I mean, fuck, dude. Dude, there's no one like a beer. That guy's an animal.
Well, we're going to talk about him, I think, next week.
You watch that guy, and you're just like, that's how you do it.
Well, Kabir's going to be on the show in a few weeks. Yeah, he's going to be on here. We're going to talk to him, which will be way better than what we're doing now. But
No, it won't.
No.
I'll be on a cell phone. Hey,
I got to tell you, people. We're at 31 minutes already. That flew. So we got this episode done. You want to stick around for another one?
Me to stick around? Am I okay?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely okay to stick around. You can hang out. You can spend the night. I don't care.
I call him a fag twice in the breakdown, too.
Hey, before we go, a couple things. Jeremy Curry, Kirby's, February 19th.
February 19th!
Free show, 8 p.m., drink specials. Friday, March 6th, Saturday, March 7th, 8 p.m., Bella Ultra Lounge in Oakland. Check that out.
Thank you.
Yeah, Friday, April 17th, the 420 Comedy Joke Out at Swiss Park. And also,
new material
there. It's going to be all pot related, so if you happen to be there.
Nope.
That thing actually sold out. That place sells out quick, so if you're going to get tickets to that, get them.
Abel's an animal, bro.
Abel is an animal. We're going to talk about him, I think, on the next show as well.
I think he moved up past you and just my friend. He's one of my favorite people. He used to be real hot there, Sam. Like, you were number one. Now you're like...
I gave up.
Yeah.
I gave up.
You're like cold.
Yeah. Well,
on
that note, fuck Jeremy's plugs. I'm gonna tell you my plugs. February 22nd, San Jose Improv for Black History Month. I don't know how I got booked on that, but I did. Black comics appreciate it, even though I'm white. And then I'm gonna be in Hawaii, Honolulu, on March 14th at the Fresh Cafe for Fresh Funnies. And then I'm going to be March 18th in Honolulu at Comedy U as part of Annie O'Brien's. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, moving on. So,
aloha.
There we go. Check me out on sammarku.com, Tiger Comedy on Twitter. You guys know my Facebook. And check out Jeremy Curry. If you want to be friends with Jeremy, just come to my page, find him. And he's always looking for, especially if you're, you know.
If you got a winner.
Yeah, if you got a winner.
You got some inside shit on a game.
And we're gonna talk a little bit about sports and gambling coming up here before too long. All right,
hope not.
See you guys.
Better not.